Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldman. Today, Masechet Shabbos Daf Yud. Overall, the three points we're going to focus on are how Rabbanim conduct themselves during Tefillah, giving gifts, and treating sons equally. So, number one, the Gemara gives examples of how various Rabbanim would conduct themselves during Tefillah. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna would dress in fine footwear and daven, citing support for his practice from the pasuk "Ki konli kras el kecho Yisrael," prepare it to meet your God Yisrael. Rabbi would take off his cloak, clasp his hands, and daven, explaining that one must appear like a servant before his master. Rav Ashi said that Rav Kahana would behave in the following way. When there was suffering in the world, he would take off his cloak, clasp his hands, and daven. He said one must appear like a servant before his master. When there was peace, he would dress, cover and wrap himself with a fine cloak, and then daven based on the pasuk of Hikonri Kras El Kach Yisrael, prepare to meet your God Yisrael. When Rava once observed Rav Hamnuna prolonging his davening, he asked, Manichin Chayu Olam, Va'oskin B'chayu Shah, does one forsake the pursuit of eternal life and occupy himself instead with concerns of the transitory life? The Gemara explains that according to Rav Hamnuna, the time for tefillah is separate from the time for learning Torah, meaning that the obligation to learn Torah does not apply when one is engaged in tefillah. Point number two, Rabbi Bar Melchisedek said in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guyu, said in the name of Rav, that one who gives a gift to a friend must inform him about it. Anosin matana l'chaver osar chodio, based on the pasuk, v'das ki ani Hashem mekadishchem, to know that I am Hashem who makes you holy. A braisa teaches from this pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe, Matana tova yeshu bebaiskan azai, v'shabbos shema. I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house called Shabbos, and I wish to give it to Yisrael. Go inform them. The Gemara clarifies that although the gift of Shabbos was likely to become revealed in any event, since it's a day of rest and enjoyment, its reward for observing would not likely become revealed. And it was of this reward that Hashem wanted Moshe to inform the Jewish people. And point number three, we have another statement by Rava Bar Melchisedek, who said in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guyu, said in the name of Rav, L'olam al yishana adam b'no ben abanim. A person should never treat one son differently than his other sons. For on account of two slimes weight of fine wool that Yaakov gave to Yosef in excess of what he gave his other sons, his brothers became jealous of him, which eventually resulted in the sale of Yosef and of our forefathers descending to Mitzrayim. All right, so let's review. The Gemara gives examples of how various Rabbanim would conduct themselves during tefillah. Rava Bar Rav Huna would dress in fine footwear, and daven, citing support from the pasuk of Hikonli Kras El Kach Yisrael, prepare to meet your God Yisrael. Rava would take off his cloak, clasp his hands, and daven, explaining that one must appear like a servant before his master. And Rav Ashi said that Rav Kahana would behave in the following way. When there was suffering in the world, he would take off his cloak, clasp his hands, and daven. He said one must appear like a servant before his master. But when there was peace, he would dress, cover, and wrap himself with a fine cloak, and then he would daven based on the pasuk of Hikonui Kras El Kach Yisrael, prepare to meet your God Yisrael. When Rava once observed Rav Hamnuna prolonging his davening, he asked, Menichin Chayo Olam Va'oskin B'chayo Shah, does one forsake the pursuit of eternal life and occupy himself instead with concerns of the transitory life? The Gemara explains that according to Rav Hamnuna, the time for tefillah is separate from the time for learning Torah, meaning that the obligation to learn Torah does not apply when one is engaged in tefillah. Point number two, Rav Bar Melchisedek said in the name of Chama Bar Guyu, who said in the name of Rav, the one who gives a gift to a friend must inform him about it. Hanosim matana l'chaveru tzarcho hodio, based on the pasuk of Ladaski ani Hashem mekadishchem, to know that I am Hashem who makes you holy. A braisa teaches from this pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe, Matana tova yeshu bebeiskan azai, b'shabbos shema. I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house called Shabbos, and I wish to give it to Yisrael. Go and inform them. The Gemara clarifies that although the gift of Shabbos is likely to become revealed in any event, since it's a day of rest and enjoyment, its reward for observing it would not likely become revealed. And it was of this reward that Hashem wanted Moshe to inform the Jewish people. And point number three, Rabbi Melchisedek said in the name of Chama Bar Guyu, who said in the name of Rav, L'olam al yishana adam b'no ben abanim, a person should never treat one son differently than his other sons. For on account of two slimes weight of fine wool that Yaakov gave to Yosef in excess of what he gave his other sons, his brothers became jealous of him, which eventually resulted in the sale of Yosef and our forefathers descending to Mitzrayim. All right, so now we go to our siman. So our siman for Daf Yud has been a yid. But personally, I've never been totally satisfied with that. It's a little hard to work with in terms of simanim. So I'm going to change a little bit. And moving forward, our siman for Daf Yud is going to be a minion of Yidden. A minion of Yidden. Now, that might be redundant, but we're going to use a minion of Yidden that'll help reinforce our retention of the siman for Daf Yud. So here goes. The Chaya Shah minion of Yidden, a mix of those dressed in cloaks and fine shoes, while others clasp their hands appearing like servants, celebrate the gift of Shabbos together as brothers, feeling no jealousy for one another. So once again, in slow motion. The Chaya Shah minion of Yidden, minion of Yidden, that means run Daf Yud. The Chaya Shah minion of Yidden, a mix of those dressed in cloaks and fine shoes, while others clasp their hands appearing like servants, that reminds us of the various examples of how Rabbanim would conduct themselves during tefillah. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna would dress in fine footwear and daven, citing support for his practice from the pasuk of Hikonui Kras El Kach Yisrael, prepare to meet your God Yisrael. Rava would take off his cloak, clasp his hands, and daven, explaining that one must appear like a servant before his master. Ravashi said that Rav Kahana would behave in the following way. When there was suffering in the world, he would take off his cloak, clasp his hands, and daven. He said one must appear like a servant before his master. But when there was peace, he would dress and wrap himself with a fine cloak and then daven, based on the pasuk of Yikonu Kras El Kachi Yisrael, prepare to meet your God Yisrael. When Rava once observed Rav Tamnura prolonging his davening, he asked, Manichin Kaya Olam Ba'oskim Kaya Shah? Does one forsake the pursuit of eternal life and occupy himself instead with the concerns of this transitory life? The Gemara explains that according to Rav Amnuna, the time for tefillah is separate from the time for learning Torah, meaning that the obligation to learn Torah does not apply when one is engaged in tefillah. So the Chayah Shah, a minion of Yid, a mix of those dressed in cloaks and fine shoes, while others clasp their hands, appearing like servants, celebrate the gift of Shabbos together as brothers. Which reminds Rabbi Marachas, he said in the name of Chama Barguya, who said in the name of Rav, that one who gives a gift to a friend must inform him about it. Anos matan al chavero, sarach lo hodiu, based on the pasuk of Ladaska ni Hashem mikadishchem, to know that I am Hashem who makes you holy. And the Braisa teaches in this pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana tovi yeshu bebayis kenazai v'shabbos shema. I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house called Shabbos, and I wish to give it to Israel. Go and inform them. And the Gemara clarifies that although the gift of Shabbos was likely to become revealed in any event, since it's the day of rest and enjoyment, and we know who it's from, its reward for observing it would likely not become revealed. And it was of this reward that Hashem wanted Moshe to inform the Jewish people. Celebrate the gift of Shabbos together as brothers, feeling no jealousy for one another. So the brothers, feeling no jealousy, reminds us that Rav Abba Marachasi said in the name of Rav Chama Ragria, who said in the name of Rav, Wa'om al Yishana Adam b'no ben abanim. A person should never treat one son differently than his other sons, for on account of the two slimes' weight of fine wool that Yaakov gave to Yosef in excess of what he gave his other sons, his brothers became jealous of him, which eventually resulted in the sale of Yosef, which eventually resulted in our forefathers ascending to Mitzrayim. So once again, the Chayah Shah, minion of Yidden, a mix of those dressed in cloaks and fine shoes, while others clasp their hands, appearing like servants, celebrate the gift of Shabbos together as brothers, feeling no jealousy for one another. All right, so now it's time for a four blot back chazor, beginning on Dav Vav. So the symbol for Dav Vav is a sword. So the elaborate sword dance, reminding us we're on Dav Vav. The elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains, which reminds us of the Braisa, that listed the four Rishuyas, the four domains with regard to Shabbos, and examples of each. We have Rishus Yachi, that's a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, or a partition that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. A Rishus Rabim, like a highway, a large public plaza, streets that are open at both ends. So transferring Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachi, or vice versa, is Midaraisa prohibited. And we have a Karmelis. It's neither Rishus Rabim, because it doesn't support large-scale traffic, nor Rishus Yachi, because it's not enclosed. A sea, a storefront bench area, transferring from Rishus Rabim or Rishus Yachi to a Karmelis, or vice versa, is Midarabanan Aser. And then we have Makom Patur, an exempt place, a place in Rishus Rabim that's less than 4x4 tefachim wide, but higher than 3 tefachim. Transferring from Rishus Rabim or Rishus Yachi to a Makom Patur, or vice versa, is permitted. So the elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds or crowding the area between two opposite houses. So we have the thresholds reminding us of the Braisa that included a Malkul is about a threshold, a skupa, which is considered a Malkul Patur. A person standing on a threshold can take an object from the Baal Bai standing in the Rishus Yachid or give him one. He can also take an object from a poor person standing in Rishus Rabim or give him one. The one thing he can't do is transfer the object from the Baal Bais to the poor person or vice versa. But if he did, all three are exempt from bringing a chatas. Acherim, which is understood by Reb Meir, says, the threshold can function as two domains depending on the circumstances. When the door to the entrance is open, the threshold is considered a Shus Yachid. When the door to the entrance is closed, the threshold is considered of Shus Rabim, or crowd in the area between two opposite houses. Which reminds us, when the Braisa above defined the Rishus Yachid and then stated, this is a Rishus Yachid, it implied it rejected specifically the following opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that two walls are enough to render the area between them a Rishus Yachid. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if someone had two houses on opposite sides of the Rishus Rabim, he considered either two side posts or two crossbeams at each end of the open street, which is required rabbinically, so the street doesn't look like a Rishus Rabim, and then pick things up or play things down in the street in the area between the two houses. So once again, the elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds or crowding the area between two opposite houses. Dav Zayin. So the similar Dav Zayin is a gun. So we said the Carmelist gun gang, that reminds me of Dav Zayin. The Carmelist gun gang, infamous for hanging out in the nooks of Rishus Rabim, which reminds us that Rav Yochanan identifies the Carmelist listed as one of the Carmelist areas as a nook adjacent to Rishus Rabim. Although the public sometimes push their way into this area and enter it, since it's not convenient, it's a Carmelis. So the Carmelis gun gang, infamous for hanging out in the nooks of Rishus Rabim, would rob anyone larger than 4x4 and 10 tefachim high. which reminds that the rabbis were lenient when decreeing the parameters of a karmelis, applying one of the leniences of Rishus Yachid and one of the leniences of Rishus Rabbim. Rav Dimi said in the name of Rav Yochanan that a karmelis must be at least 4 tefachim wide, similar to the requirement of Rishus Yachid. If it's less than 4 tefachim, it has the status of makom patur. Rav Sheshet said the airspace of a karmelis is only considered a karmelis until 10 tefachim, similar to the laws of Rishus Rabbim. The area above a Rishus Rabbim has the status of makom patur, so similarly the area above a karmelis has the status of a makom patur. So they rob anyone larger than 4 by 4 and 10 tefachim high in size and then hide their stash in crevices, which reminds us that crevices in Rishus Yachid, Chori Rishus Yachid, have the status of Rishus Yachid. But crevices in Rishus Rabbim, Chori Rishus Rabbim, is a machlokas. Abai says they're treated as Rishus Rabbim, since the public sometimes use them as a convenient place to store items. Rava says their measurement determines their status. If they're less than 4 by 4 tefachim wide, they have the status of a makom patur. If they're 4 tefachim or wider, then they're treated as a karmelis. So once again, the karmelis gangang, infamous for hanging out in the nooks of Rishus Rabbim, would rob anyone larger than 4 by 4 and 10 tefachim high in size and then hide their stash in crevices. Daf Ches. So the symbol for Daf Ches is a chalas. Here we go. The baker tried to adjust his heaven 10 tefachim high, 6 tefachim wide basket of chalas. Chalas, that reminds me of Daf Ches. So the baker tried to adjust his heavy 10 tefachim high, 6 tefachim wide basket of chalas, which reminds me that Abai said if one throws a reed basket, a converts into Rishus Rabbim, and the basket is 10 tefachim high and not 6 tefachim wide, he's liable. But if the basket is 6 tefachim wide, he's exempt because he has not transferred an object, but rather a rishus, a domain. Rava said that even if the object is less than 6 tefachim wide, he's exempt because it's impossible that some slivers of the basket don't extend above 10 tefachim, resulting in some of the basket in a makom patur. And to be liable for transferring, one must place the object within the domain entirely. Abai considers the slivers of basket that extend above 10 tefachim as insignificant. So the baker tried to adjust his heavy 10 tefachim high, 6 tefachim wide basket of chalas on a 9 tefachim post in Rishus Rabbim, which reminds that Ula said if there's a post 9 tefachim high in Rishus Rabbim and the public uses it to adjust their burdens on it, if one threw an object 4 amos away and landed on that spot, the person's liable since the top is the status of Rishus Rabbim. He explains that if an object in Rishus Rabbim is less than 3 tefachim high, people tread upon it, and therefore it's considered part of Rishus Rabbim. If the object's between 3 and 9 tefachim high, the public neither treads upon it nor uses it to adjust the burdens on it, so it's either a karmelis or a makom patur, depending on whether it's 4 tefachim wide or less. So the baker tried to adjust his heavy 10 tefachim high, 6 tefachim wide basket of chalas on a 9 tefachim post on Rishus Rabbim, but eventually gave up and started toppling one end after the next across town. Which reminds that Rav Yehuda said if one lifts one end of the bundle of reeds, zirzudakane, from the ground and topples it forward, then lifts the second end from the ground and topples it forward, and does this numerous times until the basket has been moved 4 amos in Rishus Rabbim, he's not liable until he lifts both ends of the bundle simultaneously and transports it 4 amos. It's not considered nakira until both ends have been lifted from the ground simultaneously. Daf test. So the simmer daf test is a teapot. So here we go. The barber kept his broken scissors in a teapot. Teapot, that reminds us, we're on Daf Tes. The barber kept his broken scissors in a teapot. Broken scissors reminds us, Rav Acha bar Yaakov explained the various reasons why the second mission in the Perek forbids beginning certain activities on a weekday, shortly before Mincha Gadol, until he davens as a precautionary measure that one should not come to miss Mincha. So he shouldn't get a haircut lest the barber's scissors break. He shouldn't enter a bathhouse lest someone going to use a steam bath becomes faint. He shouldn't enter a tannery lest someone going to inspect his hides there discovers a flaw in his merchandise and becomes preoccupied because of it. He shouldn't start a small meal because he might extend into a larger meal. He shouldn't start judging a case lest a judge at the end of the case dealing with his verdict sees a reason to reconsider and overturn his verdict. So the barber kept his broken scissors in a teapot on top of a 10 tefachim post that read, no burdens here, which reminds us, the Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi said the Rav Meir was of the opinion that it's forbidden to use a 10 post tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide post in Rishus Rabbim to rearrange a burden on, even though the post is the status of Rishus Yachid and the person is standing in Rishus Yachid. Why? As a safeguard against doing the same on an elevation in Rishus Rabbim, which would then involve a violation of transferring from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Yachid. So the barber kept his broken scissors in a teapot on top of a 10 tefachim post that read, no burdens here, to remind his customers to daven mincha before he placed the barber's cloth on their lap. Because the Mishnah states that when one has already begun one of these activities, he does not need to interrupt them in order to daven. The Gemara defines the beginnings for each of these activities. For a haircut, it's when one puts the barber's cloth on his lap. In a bathhouse, it's when one removes his clothes. In a tannery, it's when one slips his arms out of the sleeves and ties the sleeves behind his back. For a meal, Rav said when one washes his hands. Rav Chanina says when one unfastens his belt. And the Gemara clarifies that Rav Chanina was referring to those in Bavel who were accustomed to gird themselves tightly. So once again, the barber kept his broken scissors on a teapot on top of a 10th talking post that read, "No burdens here," to remind his customers to daven mincha before he placed the barber's cloth on their lap. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we learn that a Carmelis was given leniencies of Rishus Yachid and Rishus Rabin? That's on daf Zion. Good. Number two, where do we learn that the top of a 9th talking post in Rishus Rabin has the status of Rishus Rabin since people use it to adjust their loads there? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number three, where do we learn about the various contexts of the Rabbanim during Tefillah? That's on daf Yud. Good. Number four, where do we have the Malchokas Abai and Rav regarding Chori Rishus HaRabim crevices in Rishus HaRabim? That's on daf Zion. Good. Number five, where do we learn that when one gives a gift, one needs to inform the recipient of the gift? An example would be Hashem giving Klal Yisrael Shabbos. That's on daf Yud. Good. Number six, where do we have the Malchokas regarding throwing a reed basket, a kaveris, into Rishus HaRabim? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn about the definitions and the examples of the four Rishuyos, the four different domains on Shabbos? That's on daf Vav. Good. Number eight, where do we learn that the term Carmelis referred to nooks in Rishus HaRabim? That's on daf Zion. Good. Number nine, where do we learn that one is exempt from carrying in a roofed Rishus HaRabim since it doesn't resemble encampment in the Midbar? That's on daf Hey, good. And number 10, where do we learn that one should treat his sons equally, unlike Yaakov's treatment of Yosef? That's on daf Yud. Good. Excellent. So that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.